There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, and away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Friday style before a big Labor Day weekend ahead. The Labor Day weekend, too. Now, it's not May Day. I mean, Labor Day is not May Day. It's not... It's a... Labor Day is a light red. It's not a... May Day and May Day celebrations are a deep red. Labor Day, just a light... Is it a pink... Wait, it's burnt sienna. Remember all the crayon colors that were... It's like a light... What would that red be? It's a federal holiday, of course, and I have this strange opinion, you know, where I believe that the labor unions in our country were really a great thing for a long time and very much needed, and still people had the liberty to do it. But are they... Are they representing people the same way? Are they pushing the same things in today's world that were probably the reason they got started way back? So, I mean, you've got... So, May Day is one thing. May Day, a deep, deep red. Just light red. If you're new and don't understand the red part of it, we'll explain it later in the show. But, all right, Labor Day weekend ahead, and we'll talk about some of the fun things going on this weekend as well. As we get into today's show, we can go one of two ways here in the beginning of the show. We're going to go to both places. But yeah, speaking of red, did you notice the lighting behind President Biden last night? A very, very red there. I don't think it's the same red. It was dramatic, right? And it was a dramatic evening, too, as the rhetoric from the president was calling out specific... to me, this stood out. It really did stand out as a different kind of presidential speech than what I've been... listening to in my lifetime, as President Biden in his primetime address charged that the extreme ideology of Donald Trump and his adherents threatens the very foundation of our republic. Now, he said republic there. It seems like every other time, and the president just got done doing a Q&A a second ago, I heard before I went on the air, he talked about democracy, democracy, democracy versus republic. I do think there is something to be said for the words chosen there. Even though they both are part of what we are, right? We're a republic, but we're a democratic republic. If you pick democracy or you pick republic, you're saying something, right? The Democrats, democracy, Republicans, republic. Last night, President Biden talked about extremists that threaten the foundation of our republic.
As I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault. We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. So tonight, I've come to this place where it all began to speak as plainly as I can to the nation. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Okay, so it was interesting. He started off with democracy ends with republic there. I don't know if there's anything to take from those choice of terms. But I would, the easy thing, the whataboutism, right? Which is, I tire of whataboutism. But you could at least say, in this case, the things that President Biden laid out last night in his attack against the Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans, it sounds like a cover band out there somewhere. Couldn't you make those same claims about the extremists on the left? right? I mean, couldn't you say the same exact, could you just change the names and say the same things? You listen to the violence. The question's about violence. Well, what about what happened in cities across the summer of 2020? The Black Lives Matter movement definitely has its link to Democrats, right? Not all Democrats. And President Biden said last night he wasn't against all Republicans either.
Now, I want to be very clear. Very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans.
Okay, so couldn't you fill in other groups on the left? Couldn't he say, would it have been a more nuanced and interesting speech if he would have said at the same time, and I don't embrace those on the left that are violent and extreme? But that's not really what happened. Also, I was talking about the elections and the questions about the security of elections. I want to point out that, you know, he's the president saying that election denial, I think, was a quote from last night, that the MAGA Republicans had election denial. And listen, I have gone round and round with Trump supporters that think everywhere that he lost was some kind of shenanigans, which I don't think it was. I think there are questions. Sure, there's still questions. This idea that everything was a shenanigan, I'm sorry to disagree with Mike Lindell, but there's a lot of these cases. There's some that I think bear some further scrutiny. There's a lot of them that weren't. But don't tell me the Democrats, Hillary Clinton, Stacey Abrams, who still hadn't conceded her 2018 gubernatorial loss. What about that election denial? But I digress. Back to the speech from last night from President Biden and taking the country back, right?
MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love.
That was my, and understand what I say, my favorite line from last night. It was the one that embodied what I thought was wrong with last night's speech. And I get it. It's political rhetoric. It's about motivating Democrats to come out to the polls to try to win, which the Republicans have done themselves no good service here, going from, you know, a lock for the House to questionable about the House and very questionable on the Senate side. Although I'll say this, Republicans are going to win enough to take majority, but the idea that they're going to have this extra 20 seats or so, those aren't as for sure now as they were, at least in the minds of many and the pollsters out there a couple months ago. But when President Biden says MAGA forces, and listen, what is MAGA forces? Well, I mean, when you look at it, is somebody who voted for President Trump or supports the policies of former President Trump the same as somebody who's breaking the law and rioting in the Capitol? Because that's the lumping together, right, that's being done here. But for President Biden to say MAGA forces want to take America backwards to where there's no right to choose. Okay, so let's look at that one when we come back from the break. Let's start with that one. No right to choose. And then no right to privacy. Okay. Biden administration, okay. And then no right to contraception and no right to marry who you love. Okay, we'll break that down. And I'll hear from you coming up in just a minute. News is coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:19, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Get back to the text and some of the audio from last night for the president's speech. First, though, I want y'all to say hello to my friend, Brian Kane, managing partner at Fairhope Brewing Company. And it's been a fantastic summer filled with a lot of great flavors from Faro Brewing Company. Blue Steel was, that was a big rollout for this summer, wasn't it? You said we're about out of that now.
That's right. Yeah, we put that out, I want to say, the middle of May, and it flew. It was a great beach beer, great boat beer, and people drank it up.
Okay, so then I got to ask you this, as is my way. What's next, Brian? What I mean, obviously a ton of beers with Fairhope Brewing Company, but what's new? What's the new? What's the debut?
Yeah, the new one we got out in distribution now is a IPA. It's called Friends in Low Places. This is the third year we've made this one, and we collaborate with all the breweries in Mobile and Baldwin County. There's, I guess, five of us total now, and the proceeds from this beer benefit the Alabama Coastal Foundation.
I know that's a big thing for y'all. I mean, the Pelican, you know, is a part of that brand for our coast and for Fairhope Brewing Company.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing we always say is that without great water, you can't make great beer. So Alabama Coastal Foundation is a great, nonprofit for us to partner with. We've partnered with them over the years on many different ventures. But this one is a fun one we've done a couple of times. And obviously we like the name. It goes well. A lot of Garth Brooks fans down in our area.
Yep.
And the beer is good. It's a lighter drinking IPA. It's about 6.5%, I believe. Not quite the bang you get from Causeway. So you can have one or two of those and not be feeling it too bad.
I like it. Now, the same places I find my other favorite Fairhope Brewing Company beers in stores, I'll be able to get Friends in Low Places there?
Yes, definitely. Your Piggly Wiggly, Rouse's, Greer's. Any of your little, your small shops, your Cod Chill Package, Bebo's, places like that. So anywhere you are finding Blue Steel, I can almost guarantee you'll find Friends in Low Places. And, of course, we have it at our tap room. Some of the breweries have their own version that they made locally. So it should be easy to come by.
All right, let's talk about the tap room as well. What y'all's hours through the holiday weekend? Are y'all open throughout the weekend? Kind of lay that out.
Yeah, we are. We're open until 10 o'clock tonight. We got live music with a band called The Items doing some classic rock at 6. Then we're open all day tomorrow for football. We'll have all the games on throughout the day. Sunday is 1 to 6, and then we're actually going to be open on Labor Day 1 to 6 on Monday. So we're going to have the whole holiday weekend covered. Usually aren't open on Mondays, but for the holidays, we usually try to open for a few hours. Anybody wants their last few minutes of enjoying the holiday weekend with a cold beer.
I like it, Brian. I appreciate it, man. And folks, go see you at the tap room or see those Fairhope Brewing Company beers on shelves at their favorite store. We love it, and we'll talk again soon.
Hey, Sean, I appreciate it. And Jim's going to be sad to not hear his voice out there on the radio anymore. But
Jim to come in here.
We'll get those ads going another time for us.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll have Jim come in here and just read news headlines with the
there
big pipes he has,
he's
all right?
Good at it.
Yeah, he is good. So tell him I want him to come in here. He'll read news headlines for Midday Mobile.
There you go, man. All right. Well, thank you, Sean. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Hey, you too. There he is, Brian Kane, managing partner at Fairhope Brewing Company. And, pretty cool. Friends in Low Places, if you've had that at the tap room before, now in stores. All right. Just a couple of things on the speech last night, and then a lot of text here to get to. And then later on the show, we'll get to some of the Russian news. I think it's quite a trifecta of Russian news stories. So the claim here, well, let's go back. We'll reset the stage, as President Biden said last night about where MAGA Republicans, or MAGA forces, I'm sorry, wanted to take the country.
MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love.
Okay. Where do we even start with that? So out of my critiques of former President Trump, which I know would get under skin of some folks, none of those items that were laid out there by President Biden were things that, no right to choose. So he's talking about the Roe decision, right? Once again, there's plenty of states where abortion is still, he remanded it to the Supreme Court remanded it to the states. So I hate to throw facts in there, but it was liberty given to the states to make the decision. And many states made the decision to continue with abortions. So, no right to privacy. Now, which administration out of the two, out of the Biden administration and the Trump administration, do you think has done more to censor people's conversations, to dig into what they're saying on social media. Which one? Okay. And no right to contraception. Now, this is a thing that's been called out that they think is going to, and I don't even think the Democrats think it's going to happen, but they're going to use it as a cudgel going into the midterms. That because the decision over abortion was remanded to the states, that therefore the next step for these states would be to ban contraception. Okay, so let's look at our state. Very conservative state, at least socially. Got some fiscal issues around here, but socially, very. Do you think the state of Alabama will move to ban contraception? Just for a second, whether you're on the right or left or centrist or whatever, do you, in your heart of hearts, believe that coming up in session in Montgomery this next year, there'll be a sustained move to ban contraception in the state of Alabama? Anyone? Anyway, because we're talking about Alabama, not Delaware here. All right. And no right to marry who you love. Okay. Well, we've talked about that many times. Will that be a push that Republicans make for any reason? Idealistically, pragmatically, do you think that there will be a concerted Republican push if the House goes and the Senate goes to Republicans in the midterms? Because that's what he's angling on here. Speech last night beating up Trump, but it's also obviously about the midterms coming up. Do you think Republicans will put something together to ban same-sex marriage? No. But it's about the vote, just like President Biden said last night.
We can't afford to leave anyone on the sidelines. We need everyone to do their part. So speak up, speak out, get engaged, vote, vote, vote.
All right, so there it is. It's vote, vote, vote. Some of my takeaways from last night. You on the text lines, let's see here. Terry says, not all Republicans, just those who disagree with the left. Oh, yes, that's right. But, you know, who you disagree with. I don't disagree with every, believe me, I don't disagree. I mean, I don't agree with every policy that comes from the right. I disagree more times with conservatives than I do the liberals or, for sure, progressives and far left. Ed says, I wonder if Liz Cheney wrote this speech, his speech. Jay says, the current administration's fascination with Trump is amazing. They cannot let him go. No time in history has a former president received this much press, not even Bill Clinton. I think you're right, Jay. And that's what's interesting, too, because for conservatives, Clinton has been this thing that they can't seem to let go, right? But not at a level of Trump, not even close to it. Gus says, it was all shenanigans. I don't care what the media apologists say. Well, I guess that's me, Gus. I'm a media apologist. Or I'm trying to be balanced and factual. Jay says, ironic words coming out of the mouth of a man, Biden, who said he didn't want his kids going to school with black kids and going to school in the jungle. Yeah, going back from, now that's the stuff that, back when what? 70, sometime in the 70s. And Biden's been there forever. But yeah, when he was a freshman senator, I don't know, 74, 75, something like that. And he was pushing back against segregating the schools there in Delaware. So I believe if I'm on the right page, that's what Jay said. Let's see, Dirt Digger. Biden doesn't understand abortions are not contraception in the right viewpoint. He sounds like the helmet in Spaceballs. Spaceballs classic Mel Brooks movie. My man, C.B. Carl. Said the worst part of the speech were the two Marines standing there while he went on that politically charged tirade. Bad optics, never politicize the armed forces. Jason said, my wife said I shouldn't think anything until Mrs. Sullivan said he went long in any segment whatsoever. I don't know where that's coming from. Let's see. Tim, I don't understand why this devout Catholic president keeps talking about abortion and contraception. Catholics don't believe in that. Right. Well, I mean, Nancy Pelosi, the same thing, correct? But you can't do both. I mean, if you want to go on and use your Catholicism to try to garner support from groups and then turn around and push on the abortion stance, But it hadn't stopped Pelosi, hadn't stopped Biden. Dale says, when Alabama won't let me buy Trojans and I can't marry my mule, this country will be cooked. Now we're talking. Tom says, Democrats always project their wrongdoings onto conservatives. There you go. All right, coming right back, John Sharp from AL.com. Lots to talk about with John. Plus, Dylan Smith coming up at the 1 o'clock hour. Lots to do right here on a Friday before a getaway weekend for a lot of folks.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back, Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have you all along. Phone number and the text line, 251-343-0106. By the way, too, this is it now. College Pick'em, and a bunch of y'all have gotten signed up for this year's College Pick'em. Still a chance to get it done today. I hate to say this. Like I said yesterday, I feel like I'm going to get myself into it. You can sign up to about like 10:45 tomorrow morning, but don't dilly-dally around and then forget. Because you won't be able to talk trash and you won't be able to win the amazing prize pack for this year's College Pick'em if you don't get signed up. Details on how to do that on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Go into our website, FMTalk1065.com. Just click the tab that says College Pick'em and you can click right through, get signed up, make your picks, and be ready for this first week and to compete against my friend, John Sharp from AL.com. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good. You made your picks yet?
Yeah, I sure did, and just word for the wise. I mean, the first week or two is always kind of the trap weeks for these things. You can get yourself in a hole.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're not familiar with really how good these teams are yet. So it's a lot of fun. Encourage your listeners to jump on in.
Yeah, it's and so what John will do throughout the season is what you can do as well, and that is talk trash. John's starting to – he's laying the foundation for further trash talking by talking about this first week because I think he thinks his picks are straight money and a lock, and he's going to come in next week and just, you know, brag.
So if somebody picks Notre Dame to beat Ohio State this week, and that actually happens, tip of the cap to y'all.
Yeah. Good stuff. A couple things. Sal Baldwin stories that folks can read over at AL.com, or we'll talk about going to your social media and getting them directly through there. Bridge talk. And this is the other bridge. This is not the I-10 Mobile River Bridge, but it's the bridge at Gulf Shores. ALDOT sticking with, you said, in Alabama's Battle of Beach Bridges, ALDOT is sticking with the Gulf Shores project. Lay this out, that project and what they're sticking with versus what is the other choice.
Right. So there's two. So there, ALDOT wants better movement from Pleasure Island off of Pleasure Island is the best way to put it, over the Intercoastal Waterway. And the idea was back in 2018 was to build this new bridge, a two-lane span across the Intercoastal Waterway off of Canal Road in Gulf Shores. It would eventually connect with a connector road up to the Foley Beach Express. That project's been on the table, but in the meantime, you got an agreement between the city of Orange Beach and the operators of a private toll bridge, the only other bridge other than the Route 59 bridge in the Gulf Shores, is over in Orange Beach near the wharf, and it is owned and operated by a private company, the Baldwin County Bridge Company. So they were trying to come up with a counter proposal to expand the number of lanes on their bridge, expand the toll booth, the toll plaza area, and to come up with an alternative plan. ALDOT, for the last couple of years, a little bit over a year, I would say, has taken a step back from its commitment to pursue the Gulf Shores project and weigh an alternative plan over in Orange Beach to see whether or not that would be something that could be agreeable. This has been going on for a while. There's been a couple of bid lettings out for the Gulf Shores project that have been, the state has delayed those, opting not to move forward with it while they were continuing negotiations with the bridge company. So, you know, everything's been kind of on hold for a while when it comes to either expanding the toll bridge or moving forward with a new bridge. And a little bit of impatience going on down there. I know that the city of Gulf Shores has wanted to move forward with this project, with the bridge, the Intercoastal Waterway Bridge project in their community. They've considered doing a public relations blitz, a campaign, in order to try and generate some community support for that project and put pressure on ALDOT. But at the same time, the city of Orange Beach, you know, led by Mayor Tony Kennett, he's got some questions about that bridge. He doesn't think it would truly alleviate traffic off of the beach area. He thinks that the motorists would be more committed to coming off the beach area through the wharf, through his community. So it's been a little bit of a Gulf Shores versus Orange Beach positioning, too, on this. And so right now where we're at, the news of yesterday is that ALDOT's come forward and they said, you know, they feel that the best way going forward is that ALDOT handle this project versus a private toll bridge company. And that, you know, even though they admit that no solution is going to satisfy everyone, they're prepared to take this thing out to bid now for the Gulf Shores Bridge, and bid letting and all that goes on this month. And by the end of the month, you know, we should have a little bit more information as far as the type of bids that are received into the state and how much this project will actually be. So, yeah, it's kind of complicated. It goes back several years. You know, there's very two distinctive sides on this, Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. You have a toll bridge operator. You have the state. You know, a lot of moving parts going on right now. But where we're at right now is that, you know, really for the first time in well over a year, the state's come out and said that they're going to support, at this point, the Gulf Shores project and advertise it for bids.
Okay. So, John, on the just not the politics of this, just the moving cars full of people part of it. When you said, you know, Mayor Kennan has said that this proposal for the Gulf Shores Bridge will do little to alleviate congestion, is that because they'll have to go further to the west to get on the new bridge, or what?
Yeah, that, and it's going to be a two-lane bridge. He feels that, you know, an expanded capacity on the toll bridge would be a much better option. And, you know, there's also a new piece of information that came out yesterday as well that, you know, the folks that are supportive of the toll bridge option, expanding it and moving forward with that particular project, is that for Baldwin County residents, utilizing that toll bridge going forward would be free. Right now we pay something like $2.75 to access that bridge. Well, going forward, it would be a free bridge for the local residents in Baldwin County. And for everyone else, you would have to pay the toll to use it. So, you know, there was a feeling from the Baldwin County Beach Company folks that, you know, that particular option would be more enticing for the state, perhaps. So there's been a little bit of, you know, part of the negotiations going back and forth to try and figure out, you know, whether or not they have a proposal that the state would support. At this point in time, you know, at least the statement I got yesterday was that the state is citing, they feel that the best option is to go forward with the project in Gulf Shores. They feel that it would serve a good purpose as far as getting traffic off of Pleasure Island. I call it Pleasure Island, Gulf Shores, mm-hmm. Orange Beach. That's usually the phrase that sometimes is applied to that area. We get people off of the beach area in case of an emergency. Right now, you only have the Holmes Bridge and you have the private toll bridge in Orange Beach that can move traffic off of the island in case of an emergency. They want to move forward there. I talked to John Cooper about this back in 2018. It's a concern of his to try and get traffic off of that area.
Yeah, because they... Well, I mean, the only other option is to keep going east, right down into Florida, and then come up through that way. The footprint? This is like a Mobile County guy question to ask, because I'm sure all the Baldwin County folks know this. But where would the footprint of the bridge be? Would it be east or west of the Holmes Bridge? I mean, where would it be?
It would be in between the Holmes Bridge and the Beach Express Bridge.
Okay.
It would be, you know, west of the. Of the toll bridge,
okay, and east of Holmes,
not too far to the west. So you know, you can understand. You know, it's a private company that owns and operates this toll bridge, and they're very skeptical and wary of this. They're, you know, they feel like, you know, that's competition for them, I believe. And so that's, you know, that is an issue at hand as well.
Right. And, well, at least there's some movement on this we'll be talking about going forward. Another story that is one that we talked about for quite a while here on the state, what, 2 weeks or so, a week and a half, has been the death of the Mount Vernon police officer, Ivan Lopez, who died in a wrecker along Baldwin County Road 36. The question that came out for like 10 days, people were saying, well, there's no mention of who they're looking for, the suspect in this, you know, or there's no mention. Now that changed this week. Talk about the naming of this suspect and what they say led to this accident that you quote here as a horrific collision.
Yeah, horrible situation. It happened Monday night, August 22nd, at Route 59 in Baldwin County 36. You know, the allegations right now is that Tyler Lee Henderson of Orange Beach, he's arrested. He's in Baldwin County Jail right now. He was driving at a very excessive rate of speed. They did, you know, authorities did not release how fast he was driving. They didn't provide an exact number there, but they said it was an excessive amount of speed, which, you know, when he collided in with the police cruiser driven by Ivan Lopez, it was just a horrific collision that occurred, like an explosion. So, yeah, very tragic, the driver, Henderson, survives this crash. He had a passenger in there as well. They have not identified the passenger yet. The passenger was taken to an ICU and is on the mend right now. But, yeah, yesterday was the announcement of the arrest of Tyler Henderson, the charges that he faces, one of them being murder. You know, he has a past record of having a DUI. You know, he was driving with an ignition interlock device.
That's the thing that stood out to me, John. I mean, you mentioned this, that he had this interlock device. So, obviously, previous DUI has an interlock device. How did they say, I mean, did he hotwire it, or how'd they get around? This is the thing you have to blow into, right, before you drive to make sure you're not drunk?
Yeah, at this point, that, you know, we don't know exactly how that happened, and you're right. I mean, you know, how did that occur? Authorities didn't dive into that necessarily. They also didn't provide too many specific details, you know, saying that the whole thing's under investigation. Some of the TV media at this news conference yesterday were pushing a little bit back at the district attorney's office, asking why is it taking so long to release this guy's name. I mean, you know, this crash happened, you know, a while ago, well over a week ago. Why did it take so long? You know, the response, well, you know, that investigation. We were, you know, they were being, you know, very methodical about it before they made an arrest, and they wanted to have all their charges lined up. And at least that was the response from the district attorney's office. But, you know,
but they had to know. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, I don't have all the facts in front of me either, but if they knew that this was the person driving the vehicle back on the 22nd or whatever you said, and here we are, you know, the very end of August before that presser. I mean, it seems odd to me too. There may be some piece I don't understand, but it seems odd, that large gap in time. We're not talking about 48 hours, we're talking about over a week, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I'm talking to Teresa Hines, the assistant district attorney in Baldwin County, said that, you know, she felt like it was not an unusual situation. And, you know, it doesn't seem as unusual as we might think it is, that it does take time to do these investigations, to figure out the right charges to file and to make this arrest. So, you know, that at least is their side of the story. And, you know, that's what we reported.
All right. People can check these out, of course, by going straight to AL.com. But, John, people want to maybe trash talk college football or check out your latest stories you're putting up throughout the week and the weekends. How do they find you online?
Yeah, at JohnSharp99.
Okay. And you said this
on Twitter,
yes, on Twitter. And that's where we'll, you know, hurl insults at each other during this weekend of college football. You're saying, though, this first week is critical. If you can pull out ahead in this first week, you've got your...
Yeah, that's my... I mean, you know, that's key. Everybody needs to start doing their homework early, because, you know, as the season goes on, you'll know these teams better. It's just that first 2 weeks of the season, there's some ambiguity there that, you know, it's something that can be difficult. I mean, I've done this before with you all, and...
Yep.
It's you can set yourself back in early part of the season, and then you're trying to recover throughout the rest of the year, and Then someone like you comes along and forgets to put your skillet in for a week, and then you bounce up suddenly in the standing. So,
and you're never going to get over that either. Yeah, there it is. John, semi-best of luck this weekend on that, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Sean.
Be good. There he is, John Sharp, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, big thank you to John Sharp, who is, by the way, in that college pick'em that is now huge this year, the number of people in the mix. There's just fans of FM Talk 106.5. There's people that work on this station. We can't win the prizes, but we can sure trash talk and local journalists, TV people. It's a lot of fun, and the trash talk is worth almost... Well, it is worth the price of admission, which is zero to get in. So y'all get signed up today. Why don't you say hello to my buddy, David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Let's talk inventory as we think about this weekend ahead. If we're going to come out and check out vehicles, how you looking?
Yeah, let's get out of the trash talk. We got some nice vehicles out here. Everything out here right now, Sean, we've got a mixture of a ton. We've got some small cars. We've got mid-size SUVs. We've got two 2018 Escalade ESVs, which are the long ones. Both of them under 100,000 miles. Both of them are white diamond. I mean, those are kind of something that you can't find right now. We happen to have two. We got that 4,500 flatbed truck came in yesterday. It's a really nice diesel truck for anybody needing a work truck, and the Ram ProMaster van still.
All right. What about financing?
Financing is good on everything across the board. The rates are still really good out here. I don't know what everybody's complaining about anywhere else, but our rates are staying steady and low.
All right. Tell us how to find you and talk about your hours for this weekend.
We will be here till 6 this evening. We'll be here 9 to 2 tomorrow, and then we'll be closed on Sunday and Monday.
All right.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. Give us a call at 251-375-0068. Go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
All right, David. Have a great weekend.
You too, bud. Thanks.
All right. There he is, David McCrary, checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right. Get time for a couple of these texts, and we'll get some more of them next hour in the mix. I know we have Dylan Smith from Yellowhammer News joining us. I like Dylan. I tell you who, Dylan's first conversation with me on Midday Mobile, he's been on with Jeff, but he came on to talk about the cattle mutilation story. And number one, I can tell, like, objectively by looking at the number of podcast downloads on that interview, but I can look subjectively the number of my friends and family that talked to me about that interview. So Dylan, it's that guy. He's coming back, so it's good to get him on. Gary, still with the Ohio State stuff. Oh, man. Gary, so when I first started in broadcast, when I moved from, I was working in college radio and commercial radio in Tuscaloosa, and a guy who is, first guy I did morning radio with, who is now the assistant district attorney of Charleston, West Virginia, Kanawha County there. One of the best human beings on earth, too, by the way. Great guy. His obsession with Ohio State, the Ohio State. His obsession with the Ohio State was, it's made me, I can't see clearly to ever say anything positive about the Ohio State, even though my co-host was one of the best people ever. His obsession with that team, I don't know, man. I can't. But Gary, big, strong on the Ohio State. Let's see. What's this one here? Da, 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 da. Maybe name the bridge with some double entendre, and Tony Kennan will give it due attention. Terry says, I suck at picking sports winners. I have an emotional investment in the teams. Yeah, that's always a problem. Chris, is the traffic problem really getting people off the island, or is it people driving from one spot to another down there? I do not know that, Chris. Let's see. Mr. Valentine, why so slow to name the driver? Is it politics? I don't know, Mr. Valentine. That's what left me scratching my head for a while, why it took so long. But then again, if you read John's story and the response from the assistant DA, they're saying that that's actually probably closer to normal in the time frame. Maybe it is. We need to... just seemed like a long time to me, too.
Dale says Henderson wasn't driving his car. It was somebody else's car he was driving when the wreck occurred.
Okay.
So there you go. There you are. Okay. And now we have a whole The Ohio State conversation going on the text line. You can keep it up. I'll probably ignore it, but we'll be back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. Next.